Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say that there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Over the last year or two, maybe three, I've seen lots of posts and blogs, and I've even heard a couple of podcasts lamenting that there was no good Christmas music anymore, nothing that would be considered a standard or even a classic. And quite a few of these went so far as to say that's been the case for at least 20 years. I thought that was kind of ridiculous, and I was all set, fired up, and ready to do a podcast on my own saying that that was ridiculous, but I wondered if somehow I was the only one that felt that way. So I asked some friends and found out I'm definitely not alone. In fact, the response was so big, I'm going to try and do this over the course of two or three episodes of this podcast. For this one, I've invited hosts of a couple of other Christmas podcasts to join me, talk about this idea that there's no good Christmas music anymore and no possible classics, and reveal some of their suggestions for Christmas songs from the last 20 years that they think are classics, or at least well on their way to becoming Christmas classics, or at least worthy of being classics. I do want to say, as we get started here, that this is in no way a direct or indirect response to any particular post or blog or website or podcast. It's just the general sentiment that's been floating around the last couple of years, and I thought it was time to address it. So joining me in no particular order are Jerry from the Totally Rad Christmas podcast, Scott from Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast, and Tim from the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. Thanks for joining me today, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks so much for joining me. Before we get rolling with this, I'd like each of you to introduce yourself, talk a little about your podcast, and if you don't mind, include a ballpark estimate on how long you've been doing this. Jerry?
Okay. So I am the host of Totally Rad Christmas. It's a podcast all about everything Christmas in the 80s. We'll talk about movies, specials, music. You've been on the show as well. And so have you, Scott, talking music. We just talked MTV a couple of months ago. But everything from toys to games to food to fashion, as long as it was, you know, kind of popular around Christmas in the 80s, then I cover it. I've been doing this for about 2 years now, just 2 years and like a month. And it's been really fun getting to dive into some of these classics that I grew up with, and I'm loving it. So yeah, Totally Rad Christmas. Anywhere you get podcasts is where I am.
Great. And Scott?
Hey, Ken. I'm the host of Holly Jolly Xmasu. It's a podcast all about Japanese Christmas music. I pick an album or a theme, and I go into not just the music, but the musicians, their history. I've been doing it for just over 2 years, and I've got some really great, I've covered some really great albums. I've got some really fantastic stuff coming up. So if you're in the mood for some Christmas music that you literally aren't going to hear anywhere else, go ahead and tune in.
Very cool. Thank you. Tim?
So I'm Tim from the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. It's a show about Christmas, just about everything Christmas, traditions, movies, music, food, movies. I already said that. TV show, whatever. Christmas history, basically. If anything I can look into and do like a deep dive into, we do a top five list every week. We do a little bit of Christmas Now every week. Every week, I wish. It comes out once a month, the 25th of every month, which I learned when I started the podcast is called Rudolph Day. And we've been at it for 7 years this year, let's say. Who's going to disagree with me?
I will.
Not you, imaginary listener. Sounds like Kermit the Frog. You weren't even invited on the show.
All right. Thanks. Well, the Sounds of Christmas station started in 2007. The Sounds of Christmas podcast only started in early 2021. So it's just over a year for me. I asked you guys to come up with five Christmas songs from the last 20 years that you consider classics, on their way to being considered classics. Maybe one day even they would be a standard, or that you hope they would be if it's something that maybe some of us, maybe some listening, aren't familiar with. The only other criteria I mentioned was that these should be original songs. And I believe at least one is an original take on an already established Christmas song. I might be wrong. That might be one that somebody who wasn't able to make it was going to do, but we'll see. I want to give everybody a chance to read your list. And if you have any extra info you'd like to share about any particular song, that's great. Don't feel like you have to. You don't have to defend your choices. If you have info, comments, opinions on anything from each other's list, feel free to make yourself heard. All of this is opinion, and none of the suggestions that we're going to hear are necessarily right or wrong. I just hope that in the end, the takeaway is, as time marches on, good Christmas music marches on too. So with all of that said, and it was a lot, Jerry, what's on your list?
Okay. So I kind of have a little bit of a setup here. I'm sorry. I'm a talker, so I apologize. But okay. So I work at a Christmas store, and during weekdays, when we're not listening to the playlist that we have set for weekends, we actually just have Pandora or Spotify or something running. So I get to hear a lot of these songs that, you know, the radio and I guess these stations consider classics. So things I wanted to put on the list were like Mistletoe by Justin Bieber, Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson, things like that, you know. But I'm also a musician, and this is where I'm kind of like a music snob, because I'm really into like jazz and like just really weird 20th century like Stravinsky and Bartok and weird stuff like that. So put the two together and add Christmas, and you get some of these that I think are musically amazing that no radio station has quite played yet. So that's my caveat here, except for one of them. I think one of them some of you might have on your list. But okay, so number five, I'm a big Blue Oyster Cult fan, and they actually had an album they were working on for like 8 years. It was actually the drummer, after he was kicked out, he started the solo project. It was like this crazy sci-fi mythological, like big space opera, rock opera kind of thing. Eventually, yada, 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 stuff happened. And so he created this song back in the 80s, reworked it. It was never released until 2020. And it's like one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. It's called The Girl That Love Made Blind by Albert Bouchard. And it's from his album Reimaginos. So the whole album's not actually a Christmas album, but the song itself is about Christmas. And it's just, lilting and just moody, and everything about it is just amazing. So that's number five. And yes, it is a weird space opera of a Christmas song. So I really dug that. Okay, so number four, I have Mistletoe by Kobe Calais. So definitely much more mainstream. It's from her Christmas in the Sand, I believe, album from 2012. It's classic Kobe Calais. It's like real, you know, mainstream. It's so in her style. It's about heartbreak. And one of the lines especially is, you know, I'm just standing here 3 feet small. That gets me every time. You know, it's not Christmas if the snow don't fall. It's just I love it. So that's number four. Number three is a song I discovered only recently, even though it's been out for a few years. It's from 2018. It's by The Monkees. It was the last three members, at the time, those last three surviving members of The Monkees had an album called Christmas Party. The whole album's fantastic. I highly recommend it. This particular song is called Jesus Christ. It's really, really good. It's nothing. I mean, it's super straightforward, but it's right in their style. It's very nostalgic, but at the same time, it deserves to be a Christmas classic. Melodically, it's amazing. It's got this rhythm and this almost ostinato going on with the refrain that I just find very, very stimulating. So that's number three. This next one is probably, and I know I'm speeding through this, it's because I don't know if you guys have questions or anything or want to talk about them afterwards, but the next one, number two, is White Winter Hymnal. So that one is originally recorded by the Fleet Foxes in 2008, and then the Pentatonix re-recorded in 2014. I actually prefer the Fleet Foxes version of it. It's not technically a Christmas song. It's more of like a winter song. But at this point, it's a Christmas song by association because it was on the Pentatonix album and all the rest of it was Christmas. And so, again, really different and strange, but at the same time, something about it is like a warm blanket hugging you. It just has all that, you know, the repeated phrases over and over again, just the melody, the instrumentation really gets me. But my number one, and this is one that should be on everybody's playlist, and it breaks my heart that it's not played every Christmas. It should be from 2008. It is Santa Jenny 867-5309. So it's the Christmas version of 867-5309. They re-recorded it by Tommy Tutone. I don't know if it really counts. I have a backup in case you say it doesn't count, but it's fantastic. It's basically it's like terrific. Santa Claus is coming to town, but set to 867-5309. And it is one of the greatest things I've heard ever.
That was one of my alternates.
Was it really awesome?
Yeah.
I have a parody on my list too, so I hope that does count.
Okay, good. Yeah. So that's my list. Some that really don't get any radio play, except maybe for the White Winter Hymnal, but they're phenomenal songs. I think melodically, harmonically, just everything about the instrumentation, the arrangements, they really are and deserve to be considered classics. And it's a shame that they don't get more play just because, as we were talking off camera, you said it's easier to get, you know, a Santa Claus is coming to town on radio than it is to get, you know, a Blue Oyster Cult song. So.
Anybody have any comments or anything on Jerry's picks?
I have to say you reminded me of Christmas in the Sand. And I was like, oh, that totally could have been on my list. I love that song.
Yeah. There's some great ones. It's a good album. She did great. And it was like right around her heyday. It's right in her style. And of course, you know, some of them are just hokey and typical, but there's this one's just moody and just the heartbreak in it is just, wow.
I haven't listened to the Monkees album since it came out, but the Jesus Christ, you know, is that a cover of the old Lone Star song?
It's an Alex Chilton song.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, is it? Oh, I didn't know. See, I didn't know that. So sorry if that doesn't count. I have a backup in case.
It's a great song. So
yeah, that Monkees album was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
They had released that new album possibly the year before, maybe two. And it did so well that it seemed like they rushed together to put a Christmas album out to sort of capitalize on that. And I had really low expectations, but it's a fun record. And that the first track, Unwrap You at Christmas, is one of those that will just keep playing in your head for days.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Scott, how about your list?
Okay. I'll start with my favorite. And this is the one that is not an original. From 2006, Twisted Sisters, O Come All Ye Faithful. I have never heard anything from a Twisted Christmas on the radio. And of all the songs on the album, it's my absolute favorite. They weave in We're Not Gonna Take It. If you've never seen the video, it's one of the greatest music videos ever. That's an album that, you know, we play it quite a bit around Christmas.
Great album, yeah.
At least one song deserves to be, you know, radio standard. Next, just, you know, keeping in line with the theme of my podcast, Love the Season from Ohashi Trio off their 2013 album Magic. It's actually just one guy. He does like kind of jazzy music, and he wanted people to think that it was like a jazz trio. But, you know, I wanted to throw something recent in Japanese out there. It's just an unbelievable album. It's something that everybody, it deserves to be heard. And then Mediterranean Christmas from Josh Rouse from his 2019 album. There have been a lot of really great albums the last few years. That's one that just really stands out for me. And then if you've never heard Make Like Monkees, that's another one where it's a single guy. It's an imaginary band. He's a guy in Florida. Every year for, I think, the last 5 years or so, he's been putting out a Christmas album. And last year, his song A Little Bit to Us, I thought it was one of the best ones he's done so far. He's one who his new album each year has become just one of my favorite Christmas traditions. So if he could get any airplay at all, I think that would be fantastic. And then the last one, which is probably my favorite off my list, there's an Australian band called Polish Club. And in 2017, they came out with a song called I Hate You, But You Gotta Stay on Christmas Day. Christmas Underground mentioned it. You could only find like a 15 second clip of the song online. I was so taken by it that a couple years later, since you couldn't find the whole thing online, I was ready to spend like $60 just to get the vinyl. And I wasn't even buying vinyl at the time. Thankfully, I'll just say there was a site that I found online that had the MP3. I downloaded it. It was fantastic. I played it for my kids. My girls, who a couple of them aren't even, you know, into Christmas music, they loved it. They just thought it was a fantastic song. I found out back in December, they finally made it available for streaming globally. So it's something that anybody can have access to it now. It's just a fantastic Christmas rock song. It's one that now that everybody can download it legally, I'm going to be trying to play it up to a lot of people. I think that's my five.
Anybody have any comments, reaction to Scott's list?
Just a Twisted Sister. It's a good, yeah. It's a fantastic album. It's one of those I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did. It was just great. I love it. So, although I think my favorite on that one is actually Deck the Halls. I like their version of Deck the Halls.
Yeah, I like that too. when that came out, I was very surprised because I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Twisted Christmas. And it's not. It's really done very well. I think that I think Dee Snider has done some stuff on Broadway annually for having a Twisted Christmas thing. And it's a lot of fun. And he's I wish it had, I don't remember there being any originals. I feel like it was all covers. I wish he had some originals on there because he's a good songwriter. I know he wrote a Christmas song for Celine Dion. And, you know, back in the mid 90s, and he released it, his take on it in the last year or two. And I wish I could remember what it was called, but it was, it was really good. So,
well, and I read an interview with him back in 2006, and he really took that album seriously. I mean, he put a lot of effort into it. So like you, when I heard it was coming out, I was like, I had my doubts, but I got it the day it came out. We played it and we just absolutely loved it.
And I got to say, Make Like Monkeys are so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know whether to say Make Like Monkeys are fun or is fun, because I know it's just the one guy, but they've been doing this for
English.
He's been doing this for years, and I can't remember if they're free. Are they free downloads?
They started out as free downloads on SoundCloud, and then he started putting them out on Bandcamp and Amazon. And he sent me a thank you note because I was the first person to buy one of his albums on Amazon.
Oh wow! That's cool.
nice. But they are fun. If I remember right, it's all original stuff. It's every year, and you can almost you can look forward to it. You can count on it. And I probably shouldn't have said that because maybe he's going to take 2022 off. I don't know. You never know. But it's just one of those things. It's great to see somebody who doesn't take themselves too seriously and has some fun with it and keeps making the Christmas music. I love that. Tim, how about your list?
All right. I'll do this in the style of the Five Golden Things, the segment I do on my show. Number five, I'm going for the low-hanging fruit right off the bat, Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson. I know it's an obvious pick, but it flabbergasts me that this song is not as popular as Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like, there's no substantial difference why it should not be as piped in, as synonymous with Christmas as Mariah Carey's song is. Like, it's one of the few Christmas songs that you can popular Christmas songs, at least, that you can actually bop, like there's an actual dance to, you know what I mean? Like it has a groove to it. Yeah. So it boggles my mind that is not right up there. Like it gets some play on the radio, but it doesn't get the same like, oh, it's Christmas time. It's time for Kelly Clarkson. Like nobody says that. Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody says that, but not enough people say that. Oh, right. Number four, Believe by Josh Groban from the movie Polar Express.
Good choice.
That movie, I mean, the song, it's just a great sounding Christmas song, but it suffers from being attached to that movie, which at the time just fell straight into the uncanny valley. But I think the movie is starting to make a comeback because as more people discover it now, they're just like, oh, that just must be how movies looked back then. Like, I can forgive how it looks because it's old. Whereas like those of us who lived through it were like, no, movies should have looked better than that back then. It was just they all have dead eyes for some reason. We don't know why. But hopefully that is one that will start to get more play as people rediscover the movie. And first of all, Josh Groban just has a good voice. I mean, obviously he's a professional singer. Of course he has a good voice. That's like saying that model is kind of attractive. Like, yes, of course they are. But he just has a good voice for Christmas music, I think. Like I've heard it, like he has a Christmas album where he does more classical type stuff. And it just like his sound is perfect for a Christmas sound. And that song has a great Christmas sound. And so that all works together. And so I just think that should be a classic. This one is a stretch. And I will fully admit it. It's another soundtrack item. This is my parody song, Christmas is All Around by Billy Mack from Love Actually. Just took Love is All Around and added Christmas instead of Love but I unironically love that song. Like yep. I will just punch it up and play it on YouTube while I'm doing something. I'm like, yes, this is yes. I'm not a huge fan of the original song. Like I don't dislike it, but for some reason, when they added Christmas to it and Bill Nighy, I don't know how
Nye.
I never know how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Nye. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Nye.
I thought Bill Nye was the science guy. So I thought it must be Bill Nighy.
Same last name, just spelled differently.
Oh, okay. Well, I still call him Bill Nighy, the non-science guy. Anyway, something about his vocals, what with the Christmas music, and I think just the scene of where he's recording it and how like kind of cynical it is, but it's, and for some reason it just 100% works for me. And so I will play that one at Christmas time all the time. Another I skipped my little bit. Number two, another Christmas song by Stephen Colbert. This is back when Colbert was on Comedy Central hosting the Colbert Report and he was doing his satirical character. And so he had a Christmas special called The Colbert Christmas, The Greatest Gift of All. And I think it was the first number in the special that was later on the album, which you can't find anywhere anymore. But it's just like a good, like we don't have a lot of modern day novelty songs. Like people try to do a Christmas song, like they're either going, they're just going straight ahead with it or they're doing a cover of something else. Like no one, like there's no more Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeers. There's no more I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. There's no Chipmunk Song. There's no Jingle Bells Barking Dogs. Like no one is doing that in the modern era. But this one, it's a Christmas song about how he has written a Christmas song in order to get royalties from hearing this Christmas song every year. But it is so well constructed.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like a classic Christmas. I know Colbert has like at least some background in music and definitely an appreciation of it. So I don't know who he got to write it, but it sounds like it is like a big band Christmas song style. And if it had serious lyrics, I think it would be a regular Christmas song. But I'm baffled that this doesn't play every year on the radio. Like, just punch it. Like, it sounds good. It's funny. We all get a good laugh. Yes, there's some dated references about, like, go buy a modem. Like, no one. It's all built in now. But how else are you going to rhyme pay to download them? I understand why he did it. Oh, and number one, number one, Christmas in L.A. by a band called Wolfpack. I don't know who they are other than this song. I can't even remember how this song blipped on my radar. I think a friend just told me about it. Like, oh, you like Christmas songs. You should hear this. It's by this band called Wolfpack. It's called Christmas in L.A. And it's just again, it just slaps, as the kids say. Like, it, like it's on point. It's on fleek, fam. Am I doing it? Am I relating to the young people?
I don't know if they say that anymore.
Hey, oh no! Secret's out. I'm an old. But it's like all the pretty babies and all the little babies. It's Christmas in LA. Like it has a 70s vibe, but it and like a kind of a Motown sound to it. But like it's not at all like that band is not at all like when you see them, you're like, oh, that is not what I pictured when I heard the music. and yeah, it's just a great fun tapping song that like I'm so glad it's one of those things like I'm glad I started this podcast because I don't think anyone would have showed that to me. So I could have discovered this song had I not. Right. And yeah. And I am now conscious of the fact that I feel I've been talking for too long. But anyway, Christmas in LA by Volfec. Love it.
Nice. There was one that I really wanted to pick. It was like super close whether or not I was deciding, but it kind of when I knew you were coming on the show, it reminded me of you. It's actually called Christmas in California by the band America from their album.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's a fun song. It's, you know, it's very America. I mean, it seems like a Ventura Highway for a bit. It's that whole album's pretty great. Again, not just straightforward. But I almost picked it and I thought, oh, I bet Tim's going to pick something like this. So
ballpark, just not the same thing.
Now, see, as far as novelty songs go, I was so close to picking Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas by SpongeBob.
Nice. Nice one. Good choice.
That would be good. Yeah.
I play it a couple times a year, usually when I'm out shopping. So.
My alternate was Minty, the candy cane that fell on the ground by Conan O'Brien. I love that song. It's another one that sounds like it came straight from like some old Christmas classic, as opposed to just like we wrote it in an afternoon because we had a show that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say, I am absolutely with you on the Kelly Clarkson song. Underneath the Tree has that classic wall of sound going for it. And it's Christmas. And I can't believe that, like you, that it's not on all the time, that we get to, you know, we get to November and Christmas music starts coming out and people aren't going, where's Kelly's Underneath the Tree? It should be absolutely. And I agree on the Josh Groban song too. Believe. And I'm starting to see, I get so many songs sent to me every year for the station, and I'm starting to see people covering that. And I'm waiting for, and maybe Make Like Monkeys will do this, because I'm waiting for somebody to take it a different direction, because it's nobody else has Josh Groban's voice, and you shouldn't be trying to think that you do, or pretend that you do, or sing it in that same style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for somebody to just take it apart and make it a rock song, make it ska, make it, you know, but throw in some trumpets, do something different with it. But absolutely, that's I consider it a classic. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great song. Yeah, it really is. It drives, I think. I mean, not that one. I'm thinking of the Kelly Clarkson. Sorry. It soars is what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And I would love to see someone with that kind of like a real R&B take on it.
Oh,
I bet they could really, really do it justice, you know, just get like real gritty with it. So I think that'd be pretty hip. But
yeah. And the song from Love Actually, Christmas Is All Around. I cannot believe that they missed the opportunity of releasing that as a single when that movie came out.
Yeah.
They should have done it. I agree. Yep.
That would have been huge. When it came out, it was like a mystery track on the CD. So nobody was looking for it. Radio didn't know about it. They were too busy looking at the cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You. And and it didn't get the airplay, and it should have been a hit, and it should be on. Yeah, it should be on every year. And that's another one I'm starting to see people unironically doing covers of. And I'm sure they have no idea that there was an original song. That's just on that movie that is streaming on Netflix that came up as a recommendation for me, and I'm gonna record that. But yeah, I totally agree. Anybody else have anything on Tim's list?
It's a great list.
I didn't care for it.
I haven't heard that top one, but I really wanna find that one.
I know this is just like these are a bunch of songs I'm going to download. This is like, aside from creating content for the listener, this is just more for me. Like, everything you guys talk about. Oh yeah, I'll check that out. Twisted Sister released a Christmas album. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Oh, but it has no right to be as good as it is, honestly.
Absolutely.
Really good.
Before I get to my list, I want to mention that Art from A Cozy Christmas Podcast was supposed to be with us tonight, but he wasn't able to make it. For those who don't know, Cozy Christmas Podcast is a year-round Christmas podcast celebrating the cozy side of the best holiday through stories, memories, and more, it says. Art also sent me his five songs, which are actually six songs. They are Snow Globe by Matt Wirtz. Tiny Little Christmas by The Blenders. Christmas Tree Farm by Taylor Swift. Jingle Jangle by Rhea Stevens. Come On Christmas by Matthew West. And Warm and Safe by Joanna Jones. I'm so glad that somebody mentioned Rhea Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
She has two Christmas albums and there was a single for a streaming Christmas movie. And I think that single's actually on the album that came out last year. And it's all, I think there's some covers on this last one, but most of it is original stuff and it's terrific. And really, you could take your pick of probably half a dozen songs on there that I think should be on every year. Absolutely.
Well, and the only reason I didn't mention her is because I was positive everybody else was going to bring her up. So
I'm still the Taylor Swift song. I'm not completely sold on it yet. I like it, but I'm not sure that it has that it's going to stand the test of time. I really like the idea of it, and I know that, I don't know if it's Hallmark or it's some other movie channel, has a movie in the works called Christmas Tree Farm. I don't know if it's related to this song, so it may not matter what I think, because it may just be that it's going to be around. I know that it came out, and then the next year she had a live version of it that came out. And then last year she had another version of it that came out. So it may be that just that repetition keeps it in the public consciousness. And I don't want to come off sounding like a jerk about this, because I don't feel that way about it. It's just that it's a recent song, and it's hard with some recent songs to get that sort of feeling. And I think I'm just digging myself in deeper. So I'm going to stop there with the Taylor Swift song. I like Taylor Swift.
As far as Taylor Swift goes, I actually like some of her her other original songs from like a little EP that she came out with a few years ago. Yeah. What was it, like Christmases When You Were Mine or something like that, I think. And I think it was like Christmas Must Be Something More. That was a pretty good song.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I
enjoy those. Yeah.
So I do like Taylor Swift. So save your emails. And don't get mad. I really like the Matthew
West. You can send
West.
Them to me. I have no strong feelings on Taylor. I don't particularly like Taylor Swift, so you can send them my way. It's Brian Earl at ChristmasPass.com. he's going to be like, what?
I do really like the Matthew West song, Come On Christmas. I do think that's a great song, and that's one that probably should have been on my list too, but easy to say that, I know. Who else knows? Because my list is right here. I could say it was on my list. I also really like The Blenders a lot. I don't remember Tiny Little Christmas off the top of my head.
I don't either.
Yeah. But they're, for those who don't know, The Blenders are a mostly a cappella group, kind of like Straight No Chaser.
Mm.
I guess I should have said kind of like Pentatonix, because that would be bigger. Sorry, guys.
But, I love Straight No Chaser.
Yeah.
I do too. They're some of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 12 Days of Christmas. awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I almost put it on the list.
I had Text Me a Merry Christmas on my list. And I thought,
oh, yeah,
that's you know what? That's not going to stand the test of time, because I don't know that 20, 30, 50 years from now, anybody's going to remember texting. So
that's true.
And all of the emoji and the LOL and the stuff that they do in that song. But for now, I really like it a lot. The Blenders did a very cool version of Sleigh Ride that was to the tune of Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. And it was, and it's really kind of neat and different for Sleigh Ride. So anyhow, that's Art's list. Art, thanks for sending that in. I have, let's see, there were several on mine that got mentioned, so I've moved things around while we've been talking. I narrowed it down to five songs just before we started recording this episode to give the illusion that I could follow my own directions. I also have six or seven other songs that I think should be considered classics just because of how popular they have been since their initial release, and that they continue to be that popular up through this past Christmas. And then I have eight more because I just can't stop. And I also have three songs that I disqualified at the beginning because, again, there was the whole My Directions thing, that they actually came out in the year 2000, which went past the 20-year boundary that I had set. And they're all from the soundtrack to Jim Carrey's version of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Perfect Christmas Night by Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Where Are You Christmas, Faith Hill, and Christmas of Love, Little Isidore and the Inquisitors. I think those are all great songs, but they don't count, so forget I said them. So my list. I also have like about a dozen or so more of songs these were songs by singers and bands that have advertised on the Sounds of Christmas over the years, and I just thought that might come across as a little bit too conflict of interest to use them. On the one hand, a lot of people have advertised on the Sounds of Christmas over the years, and I couldn't pick one song from everybody, and I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And then on the other hand, I didn't want the list to sound like you had to pay to be on my list. So I didn't mention those. My list, Brian Wilson, What I Really Want for Christmas, from his Christmas album in 2005. I really like that he did a Christmas album when he didn't have to. And he revisited some of the tracks he did with the Beach Boys for their Christmas stuff. But this was an original, and I think it's very catchy. And it's just one of those that sticks with me. So I'd love to hear that more. Olivia Newton-John, Christmas on My Radio, from 2007. She did a Christmas album. And this is a real nice nostalgia piece about, we're all so busy, but it's so great at this time of year to have Christmas music on the radio. And it just kind of helps with the stress and everything that you're doing, knowing that you get that little bit of joy. And I just really like that. The newest song on my list comes from 2020. It's a duet from Shea Diamond and Bebe Rexha called Blame It on Christmas. This was in the movie Happiest Season, that was streaming on Hulu. Shea also released a new version of it this past year with Cyndi Lauper instead of Bebe Rexha. And it's catchy and fun. It's not really a parody, but you listen to the stuff and you kind of laugh when they burst through a long list of reasons that they're acting the way they are because it's Christmas time. Carolyn Sills, George Bailey, from 2010. This is such a fun song about how much most of us love George from It's a Wonderful Life. And it's
nice.
I just love it. And there aren't that many songs that are about this movie that most of us watch at least once every December. And then my last, there's actually two. And this is
love that.
Yeah. My last one is actually two. Well, it's from the
My last one is two. Yeah.
It's from the same artist.
Great.
It's from Sia from her Christmas album from 2017, Candy Cane Lane and Ho Ho Ho. And I didn't think much of her Christmas album when it first came out because it came out with a slew of other Christmas music. But those two songs just they just stick with me. And I just hear them. They just rattle around in my head in a good way. And I just really enjoy them. And it's kind of says Christmas to me. So that's my list of five. I would add to that a few that are, that have just remained popular. Ariana Grande, Santa Tell Me.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Pentatonix, That's Christmas to Me. And Train, Shake Up Christmas. I think all three of those could be. And Shake Up Christmas started off getting a whole bunch of covers within a few years. And then it sort of has just not.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know it was a Train song. I got Tony Hadley's Christmas album back in 2015 from Spandau Ballet. And I heard it on there and loved it. And I think it wasn't until the following year that I realized that Train had done it before he did.
Yeah. And they've done, I think one of the things that radio wrestles with is that they did this as a single and it was tied in with a soft drink product who's not advertising here. So I'm not going to give them a free plug. But they did that
money.
And then they did a new version of it on their Christmas album, which has been re-released several times with a new song here and a new song there. And I think that radio has a problem when there's multiple versions of the song, they don't quite know what to do about it. So I think that's one of the reasons that traditional radio doesn't play it a lot, because I play it and I get a great response from it. So I don't think it's that people don't like it. So
yeah, I can see that.
So there. So that's my list. Anybody have anything to, any tomatoes to throw at me or?
The Candy Cane Lane is, I think I just hear it too much because I can't stand it anymore. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, this song is fun. It's catchy. And I'd be singing it and like, okay. And now I just hear it like so much because, you know, I work at the store and that's what we hear like all the time. And it's just like, okay, I can't take the song anymore. But the album's pretty good. I like, and her other stuff I really enjoy. It's just for some reason that one song that it just I think it really is just a frequency thing. I think I just hear it way too much.
I see. Unfortunately, the song from that album that sticks with me is Puppies Are Forever, because I started playing it to wake up and annoy my girls in the morning. And I played it so often just to wake them up for school and to annoy them into doing their chores. That now anytime it comes on, you know, I'm like, oh crap, I'm singing along to it.
Well, isn't it funny how I think one of the things that I noticed is that there's a lot of songs now that are Christmas by association. So like Let It Go, a lot of people consider that one a Christmas song, even though it has absolutely, right, again, nothing to do with Christmas. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's wintry, and so you'll see like all sorts of frozen Christmas decorations and, you know, yard art, stuff like that. But that song in particular is one that gets some play, which, you know, it's strange, but I mean, it also kind of makes sense because it was hugely popular.
That one. And also, Do You Want to Build a Snowman, which at least.
And Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Yeah. Yep.
Like you would think in theme, okay, building a snowman is something you do at Christmas time. But like, if you listen to the song, it's very much not about building a snowman.
No, it's not. Right. It's a little depressing, actually.
It's super depressing by the end.
Yeah.
Like when the parents of the singer die midway through the song, that's not a Christmas song unless it's Christmas Shoes.
That's true. Yeah. The song of which we don't speak.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If that was released after 2000, I don't care.
No, that's a 90s song that.
Oh, is it?
Gets left in the 90s. Yeah.
There was a song I almost included, but it was just outside the range. And I thought, I can't throw it in, but it's called Child's Prayer by Chicago. It was from Chicago 25. That was like their first Christmas album. It's, I don't know, it's just kind of sweet. And at first you're hearing it, it's like, I don't know about the song, but then the instrumentation and everything, especially when what's the name, Jason Scheff comes in with his verse, it's like, okay, this is actually really cool. But then I looked, it was like 1999. I was like, okay, well, forget it. I can't add that. It has a 19 in front of it.
The one that comes to mind for me that somehow has a Christmas association now is Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen.
Yes. Song.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
again,
yeah.
That's Pentatonics again.
Yeah.
I think that's why. Yeah. Yeah.
All I've ever learned from love is how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. Merry Christmas.
All right. Let's open the stockings.
Eggnog?
Yeah, it is. And it's shown up on more and more Christmas albums. And they're not, I mean, there are some artists that change the lyrics around to make it a Christmas song.
Yes, I've heard that. Yeah.
But so many are just doing a straight cover and just like, guys, are you paying attention to the words you're singing? Because this is not a Christmas song.
The one that really hasn't gotten any traction is that remake of Baby It's Cold Outside with the different lyrics. That one doesn't seem like it's stuck around very much, at least down here. I don't know about in your parts of the world, but it really didn't stick around very long.
I don't even know which one that is. Like, I know the Holderness.
I don't even recall. Was it John Legend? I think.
Yeah. Maybe?
Oh, yeah. That came and went.
Yeah.
I think they played it around here like once and there's a pretty big backlash. And I don't know that I've heard it since then.
You know, it's really funny about that song that I was in traditional radio for about 30 years and I worked at a lot of stations that went all Christmas in around Thanksgiving. And we never played that song before any of this came up. It's not a Christmas song. We never played it. It wasn't a big deal. Then all of this stuff came up. And then people are saying, well, these stations are boycotting this song. And they're not. They didn't play it before. It's not. It's a cold song. And the lyrics don't really stand up anymore. But
right.
But it's just it's not a Christmas song. So.
Well, I did hear Dean Martin's version has, I guess, sales for that have skyrocketed since the controversy came out.
So, right.
Well, it's streaming because everybody wants to go and hear what's all the fuss about.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to stream it. And Dean Martin's estate's probably very happy about that.
His daughter's thrilled.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
I'm sure, yeah.
Maybe it's cold outside, but it's warm in the old vault.
It's warm. Yes. Warm in the wallet.
That's right.
That's what it's going for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also available on Spotify, by the way. You can channel your outrage there if you'd like.
The Chipmunks had a Christmas album that they released in like 2012. That's actually, I mean, it's just standards. It's Chipmunks, but it's still pretty good. I really enjoy that. It's called like a Chipmunk Christmas or something, or Chipmunks Christmas. I thought about using one of those, but there's not really very many like original tracks on it. I think there's maybe one. So I said, forget it. It's just a great album. Especially if you like Chipmunks. So.
The Chipmunks revisited their Christmas album at some point in the 80s. And when they re-recorded the Chipmunk song, Alvin got his hula hoop at the end.
Oh.
And every once in a while, I will slip that version in on the Sounds of Christmas. And I almost always get an email. Oh, my God. I didn't know Alvin finally got his, you know, I was like, all right, well, Merry Christmas to you.
Was it like 82 or 83, something around there?
I probably, because I seem to remember it as a record, not a CD. So it was probably the early 80s. But
because they came out with that, they had a special around that time. And I think it was released as to like, you know, drop with it or something like that, or to capitalize on that maybe a year later. I don't recall. But I do remember that album. I didn't remember that he got it at the end. So now I got to go back and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets, well, I don't. Okay. Here's a spoiler. I mean, it's a 40-year-old song. So It's a 40-year-old cover of like a 70-year-old song. But just in case you didn't know, he gets the hula hoop at the end, and then he starts rattling off a whole bunch of other things he wants now that he got the hula hoop. Very Alvin. So. So
sounds about right. Yep.
Yeah. So go check that out on Spotify also. Spotify is not paying for this, by the way. I should stop plugging them too. Right. I am going to revisit this topic again soon. I've got a couple of singers and musicians who want to weigh in on this. All who have released their own original Christmas music in the last few years. And I want to get their takes on what they think should be considered a Christmas classic besides their own stuff. Although at least one of them has been mentioned tonight. I think a couple of them have. So nice. There, I dropped that off. So you have to tune in. Guys, thanks so much for spending some time talking about Christmas music. Let's go around one more time. Plug your podcast, maybe something you've got coming up, and how people can find you. Jerry?
Yep. So I am the Totally Rad Christmas. It's all about Christmas in the 80s, although I stretch it a little bit. It's more like 77 to 93. But just anything, again, that has to do with Christmas, even remotely, like Tim and I covered Superman, which, you know, yeah, and he made a pretty convincing case that it's a Christmas movie.
So, I stand by it.
I do too. But yeah, so you can find me at totallyradchristmas.com, anywhere you find podcasts. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas and Twitter at Rad Christmas. Coming up, I've got Sonic the Hedgehog episode coming up. I've got a really cool murder spree. It sounds terrible, but episode coming up. It's very gruesome, but totally enthralling. So that's coming up. There's a promotional EP called Yulesville that we're going to be covering as well from like, I think 88 or 89, somewhere around there. And yeah, just some fun stuff. Got some great guests coming up as well. And I just dropped a couple of weeks ago, my interview with voice actress Katie Lee. That was really cool. So it was awesome to meet her. So, you know, she did so many of the stuff I watched growing up that it was fantastic. So
great. Thanks. Thank you. Scott?
Again, my podcast is Holly Jolly Xmasu. I cover Japanese Christmas music. You can find me on all the major podcast streaming services, all the social media outlets. This month, I've got my 50th episode coming out. I'll be covering a 2-LP children's album from the 70s. It's not the sort of children's album you'd expect. It's a fantastic album. It was one of the first records I got that really helped me learn how to, find more the Japanese Christmas music I was looking for. It helped me establish some connections with some other collectors. So it's a fantastic album. It's a really special album to me. So it should be a really enjoyable episode.
And how about you, Tim?
Can't wait for Christmas podcast. We are currently doing a ongoing feature. I try to do one every year where ongoing audience feature. And this year is Recastmas time, where we're just taking movies and recasting them. Could be, it's not relegated to any time period. So like you could have Bing Crosby in a movie with Macaulay Culkin. Why would you want to do that? I don't know, but I'm saying you could.
I don't know. That sounds pretty awesome. That's interesting.
Those are the two only actors I could come up with in my mind. I'm like, let's pick two disparate actors. My brain went, here you go. Anyway, so we're currently doing Miracle on 34th Street. That's the one coming out for our May episode. If you have recasting ideas for who you think would be good in a remake of that movie, you can send them to christmas@tancast.com. But the site is can'twaitforchristmaspod.com. And again, we're at the 25th of every month.
Cool. Terrific. Hey, guys, thanks so much for spending some time and talking about this stuff. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having anytime. Us.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.